Greetings and blessings to each of you this morning as we continue our worship time. seems like we can't get away from this topic of 2021. And I guess there's good reason. But just to think about 2021 was a time that caused a lot of uncertainty, and probably entering in so far this year, I don't think it's relieved that a whole lot at this point. But just to think back, you that have lived a while, this isn't the first time that we have seen difficult, uncertain, entered into a future that a little fearful, anxious. You that have been here a while, I know you can't see this real well, but you maybe can see a paper that was put out here regularly, quarterly, I believe it was, called Faith in Action, back in the past. This I found in some of our renovations at home. Oh, I found one. I think I found more, but I can't find them now. So I was hoping. I tried to save them, but I have this one. And it was from, stated September 27, 1998. It's 98-99, Winter Volume 2. If you remember Diane Freed, when Dan and Diane were here for a period of years, she put this together, was the editor, and had different people write about different things. There was a pastor's corner, and then there were different people that wrote in poems and things in their lives and things that happened and so on. So at that time, we were facing another dilemma. Who can tell me what that was? Y2K, that's right. And Sam wrote an article in this. Actually, Sam and Val both were asked to write their idea of what this was all about. And so they did. So I'm going to, I don't know if any of you have any copies of those anymore or not, but it's interesting reading. It's 20 years plus. And so I think it gives us a little, it's interesting how we looked at things then at the dilemma that was going, we thought people were telling us it was going to happen. Electric was going to be off. The computers weren't going to work. They were going to crash. You won't be able to buy groceries. And Sam wrote some about that, where people were stockpiling, buying out, emptying the stores, looking ahead, food to eat. Some of you don't remember that. Some weren't born yet. But many of you, most of us here, remember something of that. And so, thinking of that, you know, I think maybe, I don't remember how I felt, but I think maybe our dilemma today is a little more serious than that was, and yet at that time we felt that was pretty serious because we didn't know, and that's where we are again. We don't know, and it's what we don't know is what concerns us. But as Cameron read this morning, reminding us again that Jesus telling us you don't have to know. It's not in knowing, but it's in trusting and believing. And so we need to do that. That's not my sermon, but that was free, and I found that. And so I want to make copies, and hopefully all of you or somebody can help me make copies. So all of you can look back and remember. I think that's good. Scott, if you would like to... If you haven't found a song to close, you can Faith and Praise 111. I was going to catch you before, and I didn't. So this morning you can turn to Hebrews again. We'll continue. Probably I'm not going to ask you where we stopped the last time. But it's okay. We're going to start with chapter 3. I might back up into a couple of verses of chapter 2. But I'm going to read the first six verses of chapter 3. And I've entitled this, Jesus Greater Than Moses. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now looking back in verse 17 and 18 in the preceding chapter, he says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted, or to help them, to help us, when we face temptation. And so then he goes into chapter 3, and he's telling us again of the greatness and the great difference that Jesus brought to us over the Old Testament ceremonial law. And as I read this and study this more, the book of Hebrews, and I look ahead, it's just how the writer is concentrating on the Old Testament ceremonial law versus the New Testament, the freedom and the access we have to God, the difference and how great that difference really is. And as the writer keeps writing, I'm thinking how, and it's a lot of repeating over and over, emphasizing again of what Jesus did and the difference that he made. And so there's several words here that I want to pick out in the first verse, and things that I think that relate to us and how we can identify. He starts out, he calls us holy brethren. It's like most of us would say, well, I'm not sure I want to classify myself as a holy person, and yet if you read this verse up here, it goes along real well with it. God demands holiness. God is holy, and so he wants us to be holy. And so I think we need to look at holiness in a context maybe differently than what we do. We think of holiness as being perfect, being endued with some special knowledge, wisdom, and power, and set up on a pedestal and so on, and that's not what he's talking about. It's simply a resignation and a submission to the authority and power of God. I believe is what holiness is, and then we will do what God wants us to do and what the Word tells us to do. But it's also a privilege to think that that the writer and even Jesus would consider us as holy brethren and sisters. We're a part of his family. That's an elevation. That in itself elevates us to a level of kingdom, the presence of God, being in classified as someone that Jesus, and it's in verse 11 of the previous chapter, it says, Jesus was not ashamed to call us brethren. So that should make us proud, but it should sure make us thankful and give us something to be happy and rejoice over. You have to excuse my throat. I hope I make it through all this. And so, holy brethren, is persons consecrated to God to be holy in heart, holy in life, and useful in the world. That's what holiness would pertain to. Also in Hebrews 12:14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we see holiness is very important to God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, and it's after that verse that's up there, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are called to holiness, and we are to be a holy nation. Okay, I'll move on to, and it says, partakers of the heavenly calling. Again, we are called by God. We participate in the invitation to enter into and enjoy the presence of God. Isn't that fantastic? That you and I, people, sinners, people that didn't know God, people that were doomed, but were invited to be participants in the presence of God, with the God's work, and so on. And so I think of a calling. All of us were called, are called, at one point, and I think there are many different callings through our lives. The first calling is when God calls us and invites us into the kingdom of God to be a child of His. And we respond to that call, then we are renewed, we are converted, we are new people, new creatures. And we work for the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of darkness. But there are other callings, I think, that come after that then, that God calls us for different offices, different vocations, different uses in His kingdom. And it's not just, you don't just have to have a calling or be a preacher to have a calling. I think of teachers, that is a special calling as well. And it names other ones in, I think it's Galatians, it talks about the different gifts. And so, but I want to just emphasize that every one of you have a calling. It may not be to get up here and to preach, but it is a calling to do something in the kingdom of God, if you are open to that. If it's working with people, if you're working with children, and I think of teachers. This morning, there are several of our teachers here. And I think that that is probably one of the most important callings that a person can have, is teaching. And I think of Miss Jan. I should have found out for sure how many years you've been here, but I know it's been a long time. I want to say 10 plus. And the impact that you have had on the first and second grade students over the years. And I know that those, I think we all know that those are the formative years that are so important, that give the students, give the children the groundwork they need to proceed on in further life. And Kenitra as well. In what you ladies do as you teachers, I know you didn't choose that vocation for the money, but you did it because of your love for children and helping children learn. And that is a good, and that's a calling. I believe it's a calling from God. It may change. It may not, you may not have that calling the rest of your life. It could change to something else. And whatever else the rest of you do, it could change. God could move us on in a growing process. God moves us to different things where we can be used for His purpose and for His kingdom. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So the callings that we have sometimes are not the callings that we think of children when we, in growing up, we think of what we would like to do, maybe what does God have us to do. That may differ from what we actually end up doing and where God actually takes us. But sometimes it could be this very same thing as well. But it's not so important what we do, but it's important that we are willing to do what God calls us to do. I think that's where the blessing comes in. Okay, I need to move on. It also talks about our high priest, and to consider our apostle and high priest, which is Jesus Christ, and of our profession and of Christ Jesus. We profess Christianity. We profess to be followers of Jesus. And so as we go through this life, and as we go through and perfecting our calling, of course, Jesus needs to be the center of our life and the center of our goal of what we are doing is centered around. It's not always talking about Jesus, but Jesus is our final, is the ultimate goal that we're working toward in bringing, helping other people find that calling as well. And it talks about Jesus being the high priest. We know that in the Old Testament, and I'll probably come talk about that a little bit more later, where the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. He took blood in from the sacrifice and offered it there to God. And no one else was allowed to go in there. But when Jesus came, and when Jesus was crucified on the cross, when he died, you know what happened? The veil was rent. That separation from the worship center where people could go in the temple to the Holy of Holies where no one was allowed to proceed beyond. There was a veil, a curtain, and that curtain was ripped from top to bottom. And it was opened up because Jesus now is that high priest. We can freely come to him. We don't have to go to a special place. You don't have to come here necessarily to meet Jesus, but you can go in your closet. You can go out in the woods. You can go wherever. And you can come into the presence of the Almighty God. And you can ask God for whatever you need. Verse 2 talks about being faithful. Full of faith is what the dictionary says, disposed to believe in God. A good definition, but I like the next one better. Firm and in adherence to promises, contracts, and treaties. A slogan from the military, if I remember correctly, is we need a few good men. I think the slogan of the Bible would be, God needs faithful men. Not just men, but women, children, faithful followers. Faithfulness is something that is almost unexpected in the times that we live. We are expected to break contracts. We are expected to break promises. We are expected to not live up to your word. It's just in our society, it seems like it's if you do, it's like, who are you? You're some person alien somewhere. But no, if this is as a Christian, as one of God's followers, he calls us to faithfulness. And if we're not faithful, then we're doomed. I'm just reading of a church that's been in the news, and I'm sure you've read about it and heard about it as well. I haven't looked into it a whole lot, so I don't know a lot about it. I'm not going to say much about it, except that the one leader was caught in immorality. And now there are other pastors that are resigning for some reason, discouraged, disillusioned, and so on. And one even made the comment that he was giving up on the church, and it's almost a question as to giving up on God. But he didn't say that at that point. And so faithfulness. God is calling us to faithfulness as husbands in our families and as leaders in whatever calling God has called you. God wants us to be faithful in our business and so on. Someone just told me recently that his mother told him when he was younger, he said, "You only have one name. Make it a good one." And that's very true. Okay, let's move on. Verse 3 says that Jesus is greater than Moses. Remember, in the past, we talked about, it began in chapter 1, greater than the prophets. Jesus was greater than the prophets. Then in chapter 1, 4 through verse 14, it talks about Jesus was greater than the angels. And now he's talking about Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses was a great man. Moses was a great leader of the children of Israel. He had a difficult and a tough job to lead that many people and to do the impossible, not knowing exactly what all was going to take place and so on. But he was faithful. The Bible says he was faithful to his calling. He was an earthly leader, and he was a group of people, God's chosen people, and he had a high and holy calling from God to do that. But you know that Moses messed up. He did some things that he wasn't supposed to do. He disobeyed. What was it? He hit the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. Anyway, God said, because of that, you can't go into the promised land. I'm glad for grace. I'm glad for mercy. Because if that were today, I don't think any of us would make it. We wouldn't get there. I wouldn't, at least. So thank God for that. And then he talks about a house and so on. I'm going to skip over some of that. In verse 6, it talks about Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are we. I think he's talking about the church. And as Jesus is the shepherd of the church, Jesus is the one that started the church. He built the church. And he is the working within the church to reach out into the world. And so we are a part of that church. It's not just this church, but it's everyone that calls on the name of the Lord that is saved, that is serving God, is a part of that church. It's part of his family. He is our father. He is our governor. He is our head. And Jesus loves the church. Jesus died for the church, and Jesus is going to come again to redeem and all I can think of is evacuate, but that's not really a biblical term, but to, what's he going to do? Rapture. Thank you. He's going to rapture the church. That means we're going out of here. So, thank God for that. And then he ends here in holding rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And he says about having confidence and rejoicing. Confidence is freedom of speech or liberty of access, Christian privilege. That's what Jesus did as our high priest. We now have liberty of access. We love that word liberty. We want liberty. There was a politician that said years ago, "Give me liberty or give me death." Unfortunately, he died. But we want liberty. We want to be able to do what we want to do. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. That's where we find ourselves in 2021, as much as probably all generations have experienced that It's a earthly thing that we struggle with, to come under in submission to anyone, and especially to God. But there again, it depends on our view of God. If we don't believe in God, then it's really hard to come under anyone. But we need to do that. But we have confidence in God, not under the old law, but under the new, the liberty that He has given us to access to the throne of God wherever we are and whatever our need is. Under the old law, man was not permitted to approach to God. Remember the mountain where the Ten Commandments were given. And God said, don't anyone or a beast or anyone touch that mountain or they will die. Only the high priest was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies. Only once a year on the Day of Atonement, and then only with blood from an animal to make atonement for sin for the people. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom and opened a way for all to enter the most holy place. This gives us liberty of access into the holiest. I like that phrase. I think that's a phrase I'm going to try to remember and repeat through 2021. We have liberty of access. To me, it just sounds good. And so I think that'll be my phrase. You might hear it quite often, unless I forget. Into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Adam Clark says, having such access to God by such a mediator, we may obtain all that grace which is necessary to fit us for eternal glory. And having a witness of His Spirit in our heart, we have a well-grounded hope of endless happiness, and rejoice in triumph in the enjoyment of the hope. But if we retain not the grace, we shall not inherit the glory. So he closes with hope firm unto the end. You know, it's sad when there are people that have preached and have, at least by all observations, have lived a Christian life and lived for God all their lives. And then in the end period time of their life, they deny God and walk away. How sad. But you and I, we can have confidence. That's what he's telling us. We need to have confidence. Sometimes we can look at people and we can tell that that person lacks some confidence. Sometimes it's in a way just the way we stand. You can also probably pick out a person that maybe has some pride just in the way they stand or the way they handle themselves. It's not always true, but a lot of times. I notice sometimes you can tell, I think we should stand up straight, not uncomfortably raise ourselves up, but stand up straight. I think it reveals that we have confidence, not in ourselves, but in God, to do what God asks us to do. And then rejoice. We have so much to rejoice in. You know, 2021, looking ahead, you say, wow, how can I be happy? How can I look forward and rejoice in anything? Because it looks so bleak and so dim. But let's look beyond that. Remember the last time I said, focus on the cross. Let's take our focus off of here and now. Let's focus on the cross. Because that is where our redemption is. That's where our hope is. That's where our confidence is. And we can rejoice. Because we're going on. We're going out. The world is decaying. The world is going to burn up, the Bible says. But we as Christians are going to rapture. That, I think, means fly away. That's what's in my mind as I picture it. We're going out of this place. We're going to leave it. Everything. So, as Billy the Bass would say, be happy. Oh, I forget the rest of it. But anyway, there's more to it than that. But be happy. We have a lot to thank God for. And I am grateful for the writer of the book of Hebrews in the hope, the confidence that he leaves us with, that we can claim as people of God. So, turn to 111 in faith and praise. When you find it, you can stand, and then we'll pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for today and for your presence with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, your guiding, your leading. Thank you for your word that you have preserved for us to read, to study, and God, to gain confidence and to learn what you have done and accomplished for us through Jesus Christ, your Son. And thank you, Father, for the hope that you give us as we look forward to the future. We know that in this world there will be trouble, but we know that you have come to deliver us from this world. And so help us, God, even today, while we are in the world, that we would not allow ourselves to be a part of the world and to allow the world system to control us. God, I pray that you would bless each person here today. Go with us this week. Guide us with your Spirit. Help us to walk in a way of truth, in a way of righteousness, in a way of holiness. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Shall we sing?